Take your Bibles with me and turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 tonight. We've begun what I believe is going to be a tremendous journey on Sunday nights, and it's the journey on the concept of how to pray. We know what prayer is. We know it's talking to God. And yet, there are certain things about prayer that are mysterious to us. Usually when we talk to someone that we can see, or if we talk on the phone, we talk to someone that we hear audibly with our ears who responds audibly. When we talk to God, I believe He responds, but not audibly. Somebody says, well, I heard voices from heaven. Well, I don't want to doubt what somebody says, but God said that when He gave us the Bible, He gave us everything He wanted to tell us right here. And He said in the book of Revelation, nobody's going to add to these words. So nobody's going to come along and say, well, I've got some more messages from God that aren't in the Bible. No, because God said He told us everything that we need to know. And you get into very dangerous ground if you start accepting other things. So we don't hear God speak audibly to us, but He responds. Some of you know that when you pray seriously about something, God responds to you on the inside. He speaks to your heart, we say, talks to your mind, makes things clear to you out of Scripture. Sometimes you're praying about something and you read something that you read before in the Bible, but this time it jumps off the page, it fits with your situation, it's God answering your prayer. And it's a great thing. Isn't that wonderful when God speaks to you? And He speaks from His Word, and He speaks through His Spirit. I'm excited about this series on how to pray. How many of you read chapter 2 in Tori's book? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, a couple of you. It's only about 3 or 4 pages. It was a lot shorter this time. The next couple chapters are very short, so I encourage you to read those, perhaps even on Sunday afternoon. Set that aside as the Lord's Day and read that chapter. Today, we're going to talk about this concept, praying to God. Are you in Acts chapter 12? Praying to God. This is a famous chapter where Peter is thrown in prison and the people of the church are gathered together and they're praying for Peter. They're worried about him. They're concerned for him. And are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. And so they go to the Lord in prayer. And verse 5 of chapter 12 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Here we see some things about prayer. It says that while Peter was in prison, that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We were talking the other day about sentence diagrams. This would be a good sentence to diagram. You've got all those different phrases there, and just to see how they fit in. But here we see something special about prayer. And I want to emphasize, first of all, at the end of the verse where it says, unto God, unto God. For prayer to be effective, first of all, it's got to be unto God. When a little child says, now I lay me down and sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Is he praying to God? Maybe he is, but maybe he's just saying words, right? Maybe he's just saying words. When someone says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When somebody prays that, are they praying unto God or are they just saying words? Now, they may be praying unto God. This was the model prayer Jesus gave. I believe it was a model. I don't think it has to be word for word. But it's possible to pray that word for word and be thinking about it and mean it. But I think a lot of people who pray that don't really mean it. By the way, one of the reasons we stay with our King James Bible is some of the new versions, half of the Lord's Prayer there that I just quoted is missing. You can check it out sometime. Half of it's missing in some of those new versions. And it's not a good thing. because the Lord gave us those words on purpose. But I don't think He meant for us to say it just rote, you know, I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer 25 times today, and then maybe the Lord will be happy with me. No, when we pray, we are talking, as this verse says, unto God. Unto God. Let's look at a few more verses. Keep your finger in Acts 12. We'll come back there. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Notice Jesus here went out to pray. He continued all night, but notice at the end it says, to God. When Jesus prayed, he was talking to the Heavenly Father. He was talking to God. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, if you're good at finding things. Here's a great prayer promise. The word careful in Philippians 4 means worried, means full of care. Don't be careful, don't be full of care about anything. Okay? Be careful or full of care for nothing, it says. Look down at verse 6, Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known." And what's the last two words? Unto God. You see, prayer is unto God. Folks, we need to learn the importance of a definite and conscious approach to God when we pray. I find myself falling into a trap sometimes of starting out my prayers in the same way and not even thinking about what I'm saying. "Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day." Well, am I really thanking the Lord for the day? Or am I just saying that because that's what I always say? Sometimes when you're teaching your kids to pray, they'll fall into the same thing and they'll want to say the same thing all the time. Hey, if we want to learn how to pray, we've got to take some time, step back, and have a conscious, definite awareness that I am talking to God right now. And just the same way I would talk to a friend here on earth, I wouldn't start out the same way all the time. Okay, I want to make sure that I realize I'm talking to Him. Sometimes we think so much about the request that we want to make to God that we think little about the loving God to whom we're talking. Hey, let's take a moment before we pray and reflect on the fact that I'm talking to Him. I like to picture myself going into the very throne room of God. Now, I don't know what the throne room of God looks like, so it's hard to picture. But I picture some kind of large throne, high and exalted, and then for God on the throne, I just picture a bright light, because no man has seen God at any time. We don't really know, you know, what He looks like other than Jesus, of course, has the body of a man. But other than that, we don't know what God looks like, but we know He's bright with glory. And so I picture myself sometimes just walking humbly and yet confidently, because He told me to, into His throne room, and then praying and saying, "Now, Lord..." And when you do that, it's hard to just start asking for things right away. Sometimes you got to say, "Lord, you are great. You are so powerful. You are so merciful to even let me come to you and talk to you. You are incredibly holy, totally separate from sin, and yet you love me. You're condescending. You care about me." And you'll find yourself taking some time to praise God for who He is. And then you're ready to present your request. Let your requests be made known unto God. But it's something special to picture yourself going into the presence of God, because it says in Acts 12, prayer was made unto God. Unto God. They knew who they were talking to. It wasn't just rote, word for word, saying something over again. "Lord, help Peter. Lord, help Peter. He's in prison. Lord, help Peter. He's in prison." No, they were pouring out their heart to God. "Lord, Peter, he's one of the best preachers we got. Don't let him be killed, Lord. Get him out of prison. You got some of those other guys out of prison. Lord, you've done that in the past. Would you get him out? Don't let it happen what happened to John the Baptist. He got beheaded. Lord, please don't let Peter die. We need him. Lord, if you want to take him, it's okay. But certainly, Lord, you could use him. Please let him out of prison. Let him preach for you again." And they were pouring out their heart to God. They were praying unto God. Kids, when you pray, get in your head, "I'm talking to God." It'll keep you from being flippant. It'll keep you from acting silly when you're praying. You know, what if sometimes, you know, in the Christian school, some students will say something or do something funny by accident when they're praying. They pray every day at the Christian school. Isn't it a wonderful thing? You can still have prayer in school if you go to the right kind of a school. Isn't that a good thing? And they'll pray, you know, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day. Some schools pray before every class period in the junior high and high school. Well, once in a while, somebody will say something silly, and sometimes the other kids will laugh. And I would always try to teach the kids that were in my classes, I'd say, hey guys, if you have an awareness that we're in the presence of God, I'm not going to get you in trouble for laughing because he said something funny. But if you're aware that we're in God's presence, then when he says something by accident that's funny, we're probably not going to laugh. We're going to be a little embarrassed. Oh, I can't believe he said that to God. Because it's real to us. In our minds, we're picturing, we are praying unto God. Before we bring our requests, we should take time to believe that he really is listening and he wants to grant our request. We should allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into the presence of God. Now, obviously we live every day in the presence of God because he's present everywhere. But when we pray, we are especially ushered into his presence in a special way. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. And just picture yourself walking into God's presence, and then you're ready to pray. That's why it's good to close your eyes, by the way, when you pray. It keeps you from being distracted. Now, if you're going to pray while you're driving your car, don't close your eyes. I don't want you to die, all right? And you can pray while you're driving your car. That's fine. But don't close your eyes. But you know, other times it's good to close your eyes and to keep from being distracted by people around you. Also, sometimes closing your eyes in prayer is something that's, especially for young people, a matter of obedience. You know, your parents say, close your eyes when you pray. Or the preacher says, let's all bow our head and close our eyes. Okay, well then don't be looking around, okay? We can obviously pray with our eyes open, but it's better to focus and get the glimpse of the fact that we're going unto God. Well, look down at verse 5 in chapter 12 again of Acts, because something else to see about how to pray. It says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Without ceasing. Let's think about those words, without ceasing. That word in the Bible that says without ceasing means intensely, earnestly. Literally, it means in a stretched out way. Okay, you're going to pray in a stretched out way. And that's why it's been translated in our English here to say without ceasing. You know, it's going to be stretched out. It's going to be earnest. We're going to be sincere about it. We're going to be intense about it. When Jesus prayed, he was intense. Remember in the garden, Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, Jesus prayed so intensely. What happened to him? Does anybody remember? Yeah. Yeah. He was working up a sweat, and he was so intense that the Bible says his sweat was, as it were, drops of blood. Now, medical doctors say that there is a condition when someone is under intense strain and incredible stress that sometimes blood can break forth from those capillaries and blood can be intermixed with sweat. And Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. He was under some intense pain and some intense stress at that moment. He was battling the devil. The devil didn't want him to die for people's sins. You know, the devil wanted him to do something different. Remember, he tempted Jesus, said, throw yourself down from the pillar, you know, or I'll just make you ruler right now. You don't have to wait. Jesus said, no, because he wanted to go through with it. And, you know, there was intense soul searching on the human side. Remember, Jesus was 100% God, but he's also 100% man. How could he be 100% of both? It's hard to understand, but the Bible teaches it. And his 100% human side is wrestling. And in the garden, he says, Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it pass. But he says, not my will, but thine be done. And he prayed intensely. Sometimes when we pray, if we really want to see God answer, we've got to be intense about it. We've got to pray in a stretched out way. Some of you guys play soccer. And some of you have been watching the World Cup soccer games on TV. Well, you know, before they play soccer, they've got to stretch out. They've got to stretch those muscles out so that they don't pull them. They've got to stretch them out. And anybody that's stretched out like that knows that it takes focus, intense focus on each muscle. You know, you stretch one way to stretch one muscle, the other way to get the other muscle. You've got to focus intensely on each muscle to get things stretched out. And the same way when we pray, we've got to be focused. We've got to be intense about the things that God wants us to pray. A quote from Torrey: prayer that prevails with God is the prayer into which we put our whole soul, stretching out toward God in intense and agonizing desire. Have we ever prayed that way? Intense and agonizing desire. Remember a couple years ago, I was at a camp with some teenagers at a Christian camp, and there was preaching going on all week, and I was particularly burdened for a certain request that had to do with the life of one of those teenagers. And I remember I just couldn't sleep one night, and I went up this ramp to this secondary auditorium, and I just left the lights off in there. It was unlocked. And I just went in there and I just started praying. And at first I was just praying like I usually do, but I just got so burdened for that. And I think I know what Torrey means when he says intense and agonizing desire. And I was just, it was an unusual time for me. And I've had that happen a couple times since, but I want to pray that way all the time. I want to spend enough time with God where the request becomes a burden to my heart, and where I want it as bad as God wants it. God wants people to be saved. God wants Christians to follow Him. When I pray for things that I know are God's will, we could be intense about it. We could say, Lord, we've got to see it. And I remember praying that week saying, Lord, if it doesn't happen now when this Bible preaching is going on morning and night all week long, if it doesn't happen now in that young person's life, when's it going to happen? And I remember just pouring out my heart to God for something special that week. Hebrews 5:7 says this about Jesus, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him. It describes Jesus' prayer life when He was in the flesh. In other words, when He was in the body on this earth, He prayed with strong crying and tears. Hebrews 5:7. Strong crying and tears. Have we ever prayed like that? To where our request is so important to us that there's strong crying and tears. Romans 15:30 says, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Strive together with me in prayers. He said, listen, pray with me, but don't just pray some rote prayer. Strive together with me. That word strive means to put forth effort, as in an athletic contest. Okay, now, a little bit later tonight, we're going to play some volleyball, but you know, it's just for fun. But can you imagine if this was Olympic volleyball? Man, we'd be striving. We'd be diving for every ball. We wouldn't care if we got burns on our knees and elbows. Man, we would just be giving everything because we'd be striving for it with intense effort. That's the way we need to strive when it comes to prayer. Romans 15:30, strive together in your prayers. How much effort goes into an athletic contest like a soccer game? Man, you practice and you practice and you practice, and then the coach gets in there and he coaches you and he teaches you different alignments, and then it comes time for the big game. And you give everything, man. You're tired, but you keep running anyway. Sweat's just pouring out, but you don't care. You're going to keep on going. That's how we need to pray. Strenuous effort. Prayer was made without ceasing. Earnest, stretched out, without ceasing type of prayer. Torrey discusses another way to show that earnestness, and that's in the matter of fasting. He says, how shall we attain this earnestness in prayer? How shall we get to the point where we can really pray like that and pour out our hearts to God for some requests? One of the ways that that can happen is through what the Bible calls fasting. When God's Holy Spirit leads us in prayer, and we're praying for something that we know God wants us to pray for, then we can pray with confidence. But Torrey says this, the earnestness that we work up in the energy of the flesh is a repulsive thing. The earnestness wrought in us by the Holy Spirit is pleasing to God. So don't go home tonight and say, okay, I'm going to try what Pastor Needler said. I'm going to have an intense, earnest prayer. I'm going to really work it up. Here I go, Lord, help me to really be earnest. I'm going to make myself cry. Okay, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God's Holy Spirit leading us, where we say, now, Spirit of God, I'm getting ready to pray. I've got some burdens on my heart. Holy Spirit, show me how I ought to ask about these things. Give me the earnestness that Christ had when He prayed in the garden. And He prayed with tears and agony. Lord, give me some of that earnestness because I really believe these are Your will. If it's not Your will, change my mind and I'll pray different, Lord. But I'm going to ask You earnestly for some of these things. And as the Holy Spirit leads, He can produce that earnestness in your heart. And it'll be a tremendous time. One way to get toward that is through this idea of fasting. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel says that he fasted before he prayed. In Acts 14, verse 23, they're getting ready to choose the new pastors for the new churches. And before they choose, they fast and pray. Say, Lord, who do You want to pastor these churches? In Acts 13, when they're getting ready to send out Barnabas and Saul, it says they fasted and prayed. And then they sent them out to be missionaries. Because whenever you have a big decision, you've got to get hold of God. And fasting is an important thing. Now, fasting is not simply missing a meal, but it's missing a meal in order to pray. I like this definition. When we, desiring the earnestness of the Spirit to empower our prayers, deny ourselves eating and use that time in fervent prayer. You know, maybe sometime this week, the Lord would lead you to say, Father, I'm so serious about this request. Instead of taking this half hour lunch time, I'm going to spend this half hour talking to You about this request. That's what fasting is all about. Sometimes we fast when there's a request that we know God wants to answer, but we're not sure of His timing. And we sure feel like it ought to be soon. It ought to be soon that Grandma gets saved. Or it ought to be soon, or this program's coming up. Lord, would You bring some lost people and let them be saved that day? Pastor Roland going to see his cousin on Thursday. I haven't gotten a report yet from him, but, you know, to find out what happened. That would be the kind of thing where, you know, fasting could kick in because we know the Lord wants to save souls, but we're not sure if that person's going to accept or not. And so we fast and show our earnestness. Fasting shows the Lord that we are so serious about our request that we're willing to give up even something right and necessary for something more pressing. Okay, it's right to eat. You should take care of your body. Okay, you probably should not go on a 40-day fast unless, you know, the Lord tells you to do that. It's not, you know, that's rough on somebody. I know somebody who did that and they almost died. I don't know that the Lord intends for that. And there's some people who can't fast because of your health condition. If you miss one meal, I don't know, your blood sugar goes wacky or something like that. And the Lord understands all that. So don't go on a guilt trip about that. But when we fast, we're showing that I'm giving up something that's right, eating and necessary, but I'm willing to give that up for a meal or two or three maybe to spend some time with God and to fast and pray. Fasting is a possibility for us. Maybe it's something you never tried before. I know I've had just a few times in my own life of fasting, but I'll tell you, it does make your prayer, you seem to see things clearly when you spend that quality time with the Lord, and the Lord seems to honor it. So I encourage you to do it. Another way to get earnestness, not only fasting, but turn to Psalm 77. Everybody see this real quick. Psalm 77 and verse number 1. Whenever a Bible verse repeats itself, it seems to jump out at me. I know the Lord only has to say something one time, and we need to do it. Once is enough. But sometimes when He says it more than once, it just jumps out and hits me. Look at Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. As I was thinking about that verse one day, it hit me. You know, God wants us to use our voice. Now, when we can pray silently and God hears us. But there's something special about using our voice. And I think it helps with earnestness. It helps me. You know, if we're praying silently, let me put some words to it. It kind of goes like this. Lord, we are asking you to do some important things in our church. Lord, we pray that you'll save some people and help our different events to go well. Father, help us to have some new folks come. We pray for the volleyball event that we'll have safety added and that we'll have a lot of fun. And you know, last time we played volleyball, that was pretty fun. You know, we had some fun out. That was funny that one time when Pastor Kneeler got bonked in the head, and you know, he kind of got hit in the head. But that was pretty funny when that happened. I wonder if that'll happen again. You know, I should invite my friend to this volleyball. And I'm not praying anymore, am I? You see? But that's what happens when we pray silently. Our mind kind of wanders. But when I did it out loud, it sounded kind of silly, didn't it? You picked it up right away. And so when we pray out loud, it keeps your mind from wandering. Because if you start talking that way out loud, you'll realize it. You'll think, wait a minute, I'm not praying anymore. Let me come back and pray. Because prayer is unto God. Okay? I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Now, maybe you've got to go somewhere because your family will think you're weird. You're talking to yourself over there, you know, or something. Maybe you've got to, you know, shut yourself up in your room. The old timers called it the prayer closet. I don't think it was a closed closet, but they said, go to your prayer closet. And it was a place that they went and just closed the door and they just talked to God and spent some time with him. And if you could do it, I like to walk and talk to God. I like to, not nowadays, it's so hot out there, but I like to find a place where I can just walk and talk to the Lord and spend some time with him and just talk out loud. Cry out to God with your voice. Try it sometime. It'll help your earnestness. It'll help your praying without ceasing in a stretched out way with earnestness. Well, one more point tonight, and I think this will be a short one. Back to Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The last phrase I want us to see is of the church. Of the church. You know, there's power in personal prayer, but there's vastly increased power in united prayer. When you read in the Bible about united prayer, you see God doing some miraculous things. Now, we see God answering personal prayer as well. And the Bible promises in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, it's got to be effectual, it's got to be fervent, as we talked about, it's got to be earnest and intense. But here it says it was made of the church. They were gathered together as a body of believers, and they said, we've got to have an answer for this request. We've got to get serious about seeking God. That's why I'm so glad that on our midweek services, we've been able to have prayer times together seeking God. And it's been good. You folks have prayed, and the Lord has helped us, I think, to pour out our hearts to God and to really have some genuine talks with him. There are some people who have come to me and said, you know, Pastor, you know, I just can't pray out loud because I get too emotional. Okay. That's fine. The Lord understands that. But they're still praying with us. And God hears their prayers. Though they don't lead in prayer, God hears them joining in with us. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. This is probably the most famous verse that talks about what I call corporate prayer. Not personal prayer, but corporate prayer. When we get together as a church and we pray, we talk to God, we pour out our hearts to God about some important matters. Matthew chapter 18, and look down at verse 19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Okay, what's the condition for God the Father to answer that prayer? If two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. Now what does that mean, agree? Does it simply mean that you agree to ask for the same thing? I don't think so. It means agreeing in such a way that the Spirit of God brings Christians into harmony about that request. Now, I use that word harmony on purpose because that word agree means to symphonize together, like a symphony, like an orchestra, playing together, all sounding together at the same time and in tune with each other. And it's possible that when we gather to pray as a church, that the Lord can lead us in such a way that we symphonize together about that request, where it's no longer just His request that I'm agreeing to ask for as well, but now it's His request that I'm symphonizing with Him. I'm feeling burdened with Him. I'm agonizing and stretching out in prayer with Him in that request. And when God's Spirit leads His people to do that in a corporate way, you know God wants to answer that request. If just one person is praying about it and the rest of the congregation isn't led to pray about that with the same fervency, then maybe it's not God's time. Or maybe the request was not really the right request, and maybe the Lord's going to change that person's heart as they continue to pray about it. But when God leads us all to agree and symphonize together, then we're looking for the gates of heaven to open. We're looking for God to do something. This happens a lot when praying for revival. I know I pray and I say, Lord, send a widespread revival. Start it right here in Northport. Start it with Bethel Baptist, Lord. Do something special. Well, I believe as we continue to pray that there may be a time when God allows us to symphonize together and we know, okay, revival's coming. That happened to the old-timers when they prayed in their prayer closets. Okay, that happened to them. They knew. They said, God sent in revival. It's on its way. One old lady went to her preacher and said, Preacher, you need to have some special meetings next week because revival's coming. And he said, oh, I don't know. But she kept pressing him. Okay, I'll call special meetings. And sure enough, God broke through. People repented of sin. Christians got right. Revival came. Lost people saw Christianity was real. A lot of them started coming and getting saved. And marvelous revival took place. But it happens through agonizing prayer and symphonizing together. It's not just praying for my friend's burden because he's my friend, but actually having the Spirit of God make His burden into my burden also. That's what it means when it says to agree together in prayer. I'd like to challenge you to do something with this lesson. Perhaps you would latch on to that unto God part, and as you pray this week on your own, that you would focus on the idea of I'm actually going into the presence of God right now. Take a moment and focus on that and see what it does to your prayer times. It'll be tremendous. Perhaps it would be that earnestness. And not that you work it up on your own and say, okay, Lord, I want to be earnest and sincere. Give me some real emotion here. No, but that you allow God's Spirit to work in your heart and to lead you about the request. And you say, now, Lord, maybe just be honest with Him. Lord, I don't have that earnestness about this request. Would you see fit to give me some earnestness? Help me to see it as you see it, Lord. And some prayer like that, we'll see what God answers and see if He'll give you that earnestness in prayer. And then that last point of the church. Perhaps you would take it upon yourself to meet together with some people from our church for some prayer times. This Wednesday night, when that group is here, I've emailed them and I've asked them if we can have a prayer time. What I'm going to do is we're going to have the supper, and then after the supper, I'm hoping that back room is going to be empty. I'm told that a lot of times it's empty in the evenings. And if you want to stay in fellowship at supper, that's fine. But I'm going to take those guys, and any of you are welcome, ladies too, welcome to come back. And we're just going to have some prayer time back there. I know that the guys from Baptist College of Ministry know about symphonizing together in prayer because they have those kind of prayer times at that college. And so I'm excited to be able to pray with those guys. And maybe some of you would like to see if the Lord will let us symphonize together on some of the requests during some prayer time before the service on Thursday night. And I definitely would welcome anyone to come. But take something home from this lesson. Take something home from this message and allow God to change you because of it. We'll have our time of invitation. And our invitation is for two things tonight. Perhaps you'd like to just kneel here and talk to the Lord about what He's been talking to you about in this message. And that'd be a great time to do that. It'll mean more to you if you made your way to the front, and also the Lord gives grace to the humble. And then the invitation is also for anyone who has come tonight, but you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you're not positive you've been saved. If you'd like us to show you right from the Bible, just whisper that to me. I'll turn my microphone off here. And just whisper that to me and say, hey, I'd like to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Everybody will have their heads bowed and eyes closed, but you make your way to the front, let me know that. If you just want to pray on your own about something from the lesson time, then just come and have your own prayer time. But if you need to be saved, stop by and mention that to me, and we'll be sure to help you out with that tonight. All right, let's stand to our feet, and we'll have prayer, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Father, I ask tonight that you would be thorough with us when it comes to earnestness, that we would learn what it means to be led of the Spirit into earnest and intense prayer. Father, I pray that some of us would make some sacrifices in order to spend time with you in prayer, perhaps this week like we've never done before. Lord, I ask that as a church we would know some of what they experienced in Acts chapter 12 as they prayed for Peter and saw him miraculously released from prison. Father, I pray that we'll see some great miracles accomplished as we symphonize together in prayer over the next few months. I pray that as a church we would get a vision for prayer, that our Wednesday night prayer times would be enriched, that our men's prayer meeting times would be enriched, that perhaps you'd lay upon the hearts of our ladies to have some prayer time. And Lord, that you would do something special as we pour out our hearts to you and communicate with you and seek to symphonize together. Lord, I pray that each one of us who've had you speak to our hearts during this message would allow you to be thorough with us during this invitation. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.